Homes and buildings aren't built the way they used to be, and when they catch fire, they'll burn the same either. Now the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the Underwriters Laboratory have teamed up to educate firefighters on the modern fire. The course is based on a series of controlled burn experiments performed with the help of New York City's fire department. Daniel Madraskowski is a fire protection engineer and leader of the firefighting technology group at NIST. He joins us now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
All right. Great to have you on. So tell us about this course and what it's available to whom it's available and what does it help them do?
The course was developed and it's available online. It's available to any firefighter, basically anybody in the public that wants it. It's supported at UL through a Assistance to Firefighters grant that comes out of the Department of Homeland Security. And we've been very lucky to partner with UL to help to develop this program. The key thing is fires have changed over the years, as you indicated. Our homes are full of more fuels that are based on petrochemicals, polyurethane foams, polyesters, plastics of all sort. And that's different than what was in our homes in the 1950s. And our homes have also changed pretty dramatically in terms of being more environmentally friendly, energy efficient, if you will, which means basically we're wrapping them in plastic and insulating them much better, which is good for our energy bill. But if our house starts on fire, it also means that the toxic gases are trapped and air doesn't get in as easily. So that changes the dynamics of the fire a little bit. And then the last feature is our houses have changed pretty dramatically in what they're built from. And architecturally, people like big open spaces as opposed to like small, dark spaces that don't have a lot of light. And with big open spaces, that means we're relying on engineered lumber, basically trusses or other types of engineered systems, so that we can make the spans, the spaces, larger and open. If you think about homes that were sort of just inside the beltway that were built in the 50s and the late 60s, usually they're small ranchers or Cape Cods or things like that. And the spans in those rooms, that room might be limited to 12 by 12, 12 by 14 might be a really big room in one of those homes because they were limited to the dimensional lumber, the span that the dimensional lumber could handle. Now that you have trusses, you could span 20 feet, 24 feet, whatever, have a much bigger room, have a two-story open foyer. But this means that there's less compartmentation in the home, that smoke can spread easier through the home, fire can spread easier through the home. So the state of fire that the firefighters might find upon arrival would be very, very different.
So tell us a little bit about the research and the testing that you did to come up with this training course.
Well, this training course, as Tom indicated, is based largely on a set of experiments that was done with FDNY and UL and NIST in July of 2012 at Governor's Island. But really, that was sort of a culmination. That was, how does the fire service implement this? How does this really work? If you really go back to it, at least for myself, this research really started in earnest many years ago, back in the 90s, when two firefighters died in a fire at Cherry Road in Washington, D.C., and NIST used its fire dynamic simulator model for the first time to examine a firefighter fatality. And we looked at the flow path, and it was a situation where the fire started in the basement. The firefighters came in from the front door, didn't realize that they had such a massive fire going on in the rear. They were exposed to just smoke conditions at the time. Ventilation occurred low in the basement, which caused the fire to flash over, meaning it went from basically a small fire to a fire that's going floor to ceiling in a compartment fully developed. The heat from that fire came up the stairs and was so intense that the thermal conditions killed firefighter Matthews and firefighter Phillips. And Joe Morgan, who's another D.C. firefighter, survived, but he was burned over 65% of his body. And it's really through his ability to tell us what he experienced that really helped shed some light on what's going on and help validate what our model indicated in terms of flow path. So these experiments that we did in Governor's Island focus on understanding that flow path, using doors to control the flow path, either closing the inlet, closing the outlet, and how that can reduce temperatures until the firefighters are ready to fight the fire. Applying water from outside, because previously it's, firefighters have been taught never put water in through a window or through the outside. They thought they might push the fire or make conditions worse. And this set of experiments and experiments in the past 5 years that built up to that really showed, no, that's not the case. Early water is a very good thing.
We're speaking with Dan Madraskowski. He is fire protection engineer and the leader of the firefighting technology group at NIST. So with these houses in New York City, I understood that you burn some down just to see the path that the fires would take. What sort of tests did you do?
So basically, we had about 20 row houses, and we did a series of tests where the fire started in the basement, and then we had the fire, we would show under a typical firefighting scenario where firefighters might want to go from the top down, go in the front door and then down the basement, how challenging those conditions are, how dangerous those conditions are, how those conditions could overrun the protective clothing that firefighters wear. And then we showed an alternative strategy. Hey, what happens if you just put some water in the basement window? What happens if you go around the rear of the structure and put water in the basement door? Basically fighting the fire on its own level. And conditions were very positive. Those tactics were extremely effective in knocking down the fire. Then we did fires in the living room on the first floor, and again showed current practice with an aggressive interior attack and then alternative practice with what we might call a coordinated fire attack or a transitional attack, where you start fighting the fire as soon as possible from the outside and then work your way into the interior to finish up. And last but not least, we were measuring conditions, and we did some upstairs fires, but we were always measuring conditions to see what would happen to an occupant if they were trapped and the firefighters were going to get them. And a key part of this study was that not only are conditions being made better for firefighters by this aggressive exterior attack, they're also being made for any viable victims that might be trapped in the house.
All right, so tell us a little bit about how the program works in terms of NIST research. But it's a DHS grant program, so how does the research that you do get translated into coursework, and then how does it get paid for by a DHS grant?
Basically, NIST is funded through Congress to do research. We're part of the U.S. Department of Commerce, and all the research that we do is in the public domain. And so we partnered with UL to make sure that our previous research was available to them in a digital media-friendly form so that they could incorporate it to show the path, the history from the 1990s to present to how we got here, that these changes that we're recommending to the fire service or these options that we're providing to the fire service weren't just based on these 20 tests that we did on Governor's Island. There's decades of research leading up to this. And then, of course, working with them on Governor's Island, FDNY basically was the matchmaker there. They invited NIST to come and participate in the experiments, and they invited UL. And we were both very happy to participate and complemented each other's skills very well.
And I guess the message that you're trying to get out now to firefighters is that you really have to know your techniques, whether it's an apartment or a row house or a McMansion. Because if you think about the types of housing here in Washington, D.C., one firefighter could be faced with several different types of buildings when they're coming to the rescue.
Absolutely. Garden apartments, all townhouses, condominiums, you name it, very different. So the idea is that we're trying to give them information about fire dynamics, fire behavior, so the firefighters can size up the fire, understand what it is, and then have a playbook. We're trying to give them more options so they can decide, okay, we've located the fire, here it is, our best strategy is to do X. You know, we're going to make an exterior attack in this case. Or the fire's still small, it's in the kitchen. Our best strategy is to go through the front door and make an interior attack. So we're, as old fire chiefs used to say, that, you know, they develop a slide tray in their head. They'd go to a fire and develop a few more slides to get that slide tray in their head. Well, the good news for America, I guess, is that on national trend, fires are down by more than 50% since the 1970s. So firefighters' opportunities to develop that slide tray in their head are less. And this is another option to give them some experience, a way to experience fire development and fire behavior to help give them some tactical options when they get on the fire ground.
And is there a mechanism for continued developments and learnings about fires to roll up from localities through maybe the states and up to NIST?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been on the road fairly consistently. A week ago, I was in Iowa. This weekend, I was in West Virginia. This evening, I'll be giving a presentation in Baltimore County. Even though the material's online, there are a lot of demands of both the staff from UL and staff from NIST to come out and present to regional groups and you know, answer questions that they might have that, you know, they just want that additional comfort level. And people are implementing it. We're seeing success stories from as close to home as Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Fairfax County, and as far away as L.A. County. L.A. was not involved in the original work, but L.A. County, their training department, has really embraced The idea of door control, controlling ventilation until you're ready to do suppression. It's basically giving the fire service another lever. If you think about the fire triangle of fuel, oxygen, and heat that you need to have a fire, they can control either the oxygen level, controlling the air, as well as controlling the heat with their hose stream. So that's giving them a lot of options, and it's being embraced widely around the country.
And for NIST, are you still doing research? Are you still looking for abandoned homes to burn down and the like?
Absolutely. Yesterday I was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. My team will be going down there in May, and we'll be doing some work with the South Carolina State Fire Marshal and the International Society of Fire Service Instructors to develop additional training materials, this time on single-family homes, about 1,200 square feet, some two-story, some single-story, again, smaller homes, smaller communities that have much different response resources available than, say, a New York or L.A. County or a Chicago.
So somebody that buys one of those teardowns in some of the inner suburbs, you might be able to help them get rid of it.
Absolutely. It's part of in Spartanburg, it's part of a redevelopment project. We burned there also last January, and it was kind of neat that when I was there yesterday, I saw that new homes are popping up. Of course, heavily insulated and wrapped in plastic.
All right. Dan Madruskowski is a fire protection engineer and leader of the Firefighting Technology Group at NIST. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.